invite to the message tonight. I've been very heavily burdened about this. We're working through the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5 again. But you know, I've made the joke talking to some of the other young preachers in the church, and I say joke, it's really not that I know I'm quote-unquote pastor, but I don't even get to pick what I preach. I just do what God tells me to do. And months ago, I don't remember when we first started, but it's been at least 21 messages ago. Or this is the 20th message, excuse me. It'll take 21 to get to the Acts chapter 5. 20 messages ago, God laid it on my heart to start on Wednesday nights and preach to the book of Acts. And I do not believe, and I hope I get an amen and a witness on this one, I don't believe that we're where we are in the book of Acts tonight by accident. I think when God laid that on my heart, He knew what would be going on today in our nation. And I want you to know that, and I say this with absolute sincerity, this has nothing to do with anything but the Word of God. Those who just got voted into leadership don't know God. Okay, I don't care about political party. I don't care about race, age, color, or creed. The Bible says that He died for the whole world and that all could be saved, whosoever will. And I'll tell you, those who just became our leaders of our country don't know God. They proclaim that they don't. They won't mention His name. They're embarrassed of His name. Yeah, they'll say, God, when's the last time you heard those who are now our leaders pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? There's something about that name. And in the year of 2020, there's been many, many things that the church has been told to do that is not biblical. There's been direction from the world, but we don't get our direction from the world. We don't get our direction from the White House. I respect their authority, but there is an authority higher than them. Can I get a witness? There was not an inauguration service today up in heaven. The same leader who's always been is the same leader today, and He will always be that leader. And in Acts chapter 5, remember what's going on in Acts chapter 1 so far. It's the beginning of the church age. It is a new beginning for the children of God. Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, but the Comforter came. Aren't you glad for the Comforter tonight? And at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I can't imagine. I'm telling you, I can't imagine what the church service would be like tonight if every person in this room was filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I doubt very seriously I have ever experienced in my life being in a building with everybody being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you, I've never been in a room where everybody was perfect, because when I showed up, I messed it up. But at this point in time, they were all filled with 3,000 souls saved. 3,000. I don't know how many people's here tonight. Maybe 40. 3,000 souls saved by the grace of God. You know, the same God then is the same God today. You know, in Genesis 1:1, God. In the beginning, God. That's the same God today that was then. When David came to Goliath in the name of the Lord, it was the same Lord then that we have now. When Moses was directed by the Lord to a place between two mountains and a sea and the greatest army on the planet at that point in time, so men could see, you know, the same Lord that took him there is the same Lord today. And the same Lord that split the Red Sea wide open and let them walk, millions, around 2 million people walk across on dry ground, it's the same God we have today. In Acts chapter 4, you know what happened on there. We've worked through it. Now we're in Acts chapter 5. We read at the beginning where Ananias and Sapphira bring that sacrifice or bring the gift to the church. But they didn't lie to the church people. They lied to the Lord. Because they wanted recognition, but they didn't want God to get the recognition. They wanted it for themselves. And I hope you never find yourself in a spot where you're using God's platform to get you recognition. Because that's unbiblical. It says that no flesh should glory in His presence. If a man stands up here, and I'm not going to call him a man of God, if a man stands up here for him to get glory, God's not in the building. The Bible says it's not His presence. Can't get none of His presence. In verses 1 through about 10, we see that going on in verse 11. Then from verse 12 through 16, we studied last week about them apostles. Man, they had the real deal. They had the real thing. They had Jesus living inside their heart. I'm telling you tonight, you can come inside here, dress all the way you want, talk all the way you want, but if you ain't got Jesus living inside your heart, you ain't got the real deal. You can talk about God and say you're a Christian, but if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not on your way to heaven. You don't have the real thing. This is all Scripture. This is not Aaron's opinion. This is what thus saith the Lord. This is all based upon the Word of God. But we pick up in Acts chapter 5. And I want you to see what's going on here. And I don't think I'll get to preach through all this tonight, but I want to preach with this thought in mind. We ought to obey God rather than men. Look with me in verse 17. After verse 16 happens and many were healed, and remember that last, they were healed every one. You know, every person in this building, if you came here tonight and you have an ailment you need God to help you with, you know every single person in this building can get help. I'm so glad I'm not giving you a 10-step process to a better you. I'm not giving you some man's opinion. I'm standing up here reading you the Word of God, the words of God Himself. He spoke this into existence. Verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. That word indignation means anger or annoyance provoked by what is perceived as unfair treatment. They stood up because they saw that the apostles, the church, was getting attention they felt like they shouldn't get. Boy, I've heard some of our leaders over the 2020 saying that science is what's helped COVID. It wasn't prayer. I've heard that. I've heard them say God had nothing to do with it. It was a mask or a vaccine or anything. To give credit to a man when God should get credit is credit that man should never get. And they were upset and jealous that Jesus, whom they crucified, was still getting credit for what he was doing. Verse 18, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But, I like it when that happens. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now I want you, this made me laugh. That's the first time I was reading through here to preach this, okay? Look what happens. They're out there preaching and teaching in the temple, and the high priest says, go get them where we locked them up. Go get them where we bound them down. Look what happens. Verse 22, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when he had opened, we found no man within. Now, can you imagine being the keepers? I mean, you've been awake all night on guard to the nine, trained. You know how to do this. You feel like you have power over someone. You feel like you've bound them down. You've got them. And they show up and say, let's get them. They're like, oh yeah, they're in here. And let them walk inside. And they walk in and there's no one. Look what else it says. Verse 24. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. They said, oh no. I remember another time whenever we had something behind a stone. And we came back one morning and it was gone. I don't want this to happen again. We can't let news of this grow again. Verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Say, those you bound down, yeah, they right down the street preaching. Can you imagine what's going through their head? Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. While I'm on that point, there's a whole lot of people who stand up and say that they're a Christian because they're afraid to admit they're not one. They want to get the credit of being one, but nothing about them is one. Like our fearless leader who read the Psalms. He don't know who God is, okay? I prayed today for him to get saved, and I'm praying for him to be successful and for him to be born again. But I ought to obey God rather than a man. Verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter, the calm, collective, passive Peter. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses. You catch that? And we are, they have become witnesses of him. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Now I want you to see what's going on here. They've laid hands on them. They've bound them the best that they could. But the Lord. Before COVID was a bunch of church shootings. I want you to hear my heart, what God's put on me. And churches all over our country were trying to put in security teams. And it made the children of God uncomfortable to sit in God's house and worship. And that started passing over a little bit. And it wasn't quite as scary as it once was. And now I'm scared. Believe me, I don't want that to happen. But we finally had got past that little bit of a fear going on there. And next thing we know, there's a virus that's killing people. And the original story is, there's several people in this room right now that I could look across the room and say, the story was, if you got it, you died. That was scary for the children. It made us uncomfortable in the house of God again. There were threatenings. There was an uncomfort. At this point in time in the church, this is not the first time they've been in prison. We're only in chapter 5. They've already been in prison another time. Last time the angel didn't come get them out neither. They stayed in there. And they brought them out of prison. They went back to preaching. They bring them before them and what do? Do they start crumbling to give in to what the world says they should do? Hey, men said, don't you talk in that name no more. There's all different kinds. Y'all heard this before. There's all different kinds of name of God. As long as you find a way that fits you, that's all right. That ain't what my Bible says. That ain't what Fellowship Baptist Church believes. We believe the Bible. And the Bible tells me there is one name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is Jesus Christ. And I believe that we ought to obey God rather than men. Look with me at verse 17. We saw they had indignation, anger, or annoyance provoked by what is perceived as unfair treatment. They were upset. These men, remember they said earlier about them in I believe it was Acts chapter 3. They were unlearned and ignorant men. Peter was just a fisherman. He shouldn't have the intellect or ability to speak that he has. But Peter said, I don't, but God does. There may be times in your life when God tells you to do something that you don't have the ability to do. And you're like Moses. God, I'm not good to speak. I can't. And God says, Moses, do you remember who I am? I am that I am. And there may be a time or may have been something going through your heart over the last year where you've sat back and said, God, I can't believe it's as bad as it is. He said, you should be looking saying, God, I'm having a hard time believing you're as big as you are. Why are we so concerned with what's going on around us and we're not concerned with who's living inside of us? Do you know the water around a boat doesn't sink it? It's the water that gets inside of it. Well, let me give you good news. What's around you is not going to sink you. It's what's inside you that will help you stay afloat, or the lack of what's inside you that will sink you. And they had indignation. They were not happy with the way that they were being treated. I see this also in Matthew chapter 27. They were jealous, or they had envy of the ministry of Jesus. And this was not the first time. Matthew chapter 27, verse 17. Therefore, when they gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. He's brought before him. He does not want to crucify Jesus. Why? Because he found no fault in that man. And I can tell you, when we obey God, you'll find no fault in God's plan. And look what he said that next verse, 18. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. He understood that before Jesus had even ascended back into heaven, that envy and indignation and jealousy was why they had something against God. All those who are seeking power today, if they're anti-God, it's out of complete and total jealousy. Do you know why Lucifer was cast out of heaven? He said, I want to be on that throne. I will ascend above. I will have a greater throne. I will do this. And God said, no, you won't. And he kicked him down. And I read to the end of the book again just a couple days ago, and I know where he's going to end up. Don't let him steal your joy because you know where you're going either. Look at verse 18. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Now, God had already told his children this was going to happen. Luke 21, verse 10, then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Jesus had already told them, you're going to face this exact situation. You know, my Bible tells me that perilous times will come and that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. There's a description going on in that text of all the things that are going to happen in the last days. And I can tell you, I see every single one of them today. But I got good news. God ain't changed. He's not slipped off the throne. He's not worried. He's not scared. He's not beside himself. He knew before this started what was going to happen. You should have comfort in knowing that the God of heaven is sovereign today, and he'll be sovereign tomorrow. He'll be sovereign the next day, and then the next day. And we'll live on. The church will not fade away until Jesus comes to get them back. Look at verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, I am so glad that what the world can mean for evil, God can use for good. I'm so glad that when the world makes their move, God is still in control. And I'm so very glad to tell you tonight that there is no man-made prison that can stop the things of God. You'll find later on this text, and we'll preach it hopefully next week, where the Bible says that if it be of God, nothing can stop. A man who was lost understood that. And you know why the church will still be here tomorrow? Because it's ordained of God. And I'm so glad that even though these men were in a spot that looked difficult, it looked tough, it looked like you couldn't find God within a million miles, God was right in the middle of it. And if you ever find yourself in a spot, you feel like, God, how did you allow me to be here? How did I wind up here? Why am I here? Understand that God is the one who allowed you to be there. He allows all of us to be where we are, and he's in control at all times. But in verse 20, I want to see the instructions that were given here from God of what to do. And while we're reading this, I want you to understand these instructions still apply today, and I'm going to give you scripture to back that up. The church was given the same instructions here that we are given to continue today. Verse 20, go. 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 Does not say hold down a pew. It says go. Go to grow. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 22:8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, you have lost family members, raise your hand. Do you know how they're going to be reached? Because someone's going to go to them and preach the gospel. It's time that we quit sitting back on our hand. God has given us the Word of God. And what we do is we treat this like a shovel and we lean up on it and pray that God would give us a hole. Does that make much sense? God told us our faith without works is what? Dead. You must have faith. You must have Jesus. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. If you're not hooked up to the vine, you are nothing. And without love, you're just an annoying noise. But if you go in love, if you go with Jesus living inside your heart, and you take the tools that have been given to us, and you go, you will see people come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. You will never do anything in His name that returns void. And know the moment that you plant, the moment that you water, you may not see the increase, but you rest assured according to my Word of God that God will give the increase. He told them, he says, go. Now I want you to imagine, let's just be logical for a minute. That angel opened up that door for them to get out, right? And they all sat down. Would they have got out? I mean, this makes sense, doesn't it? Why is it that the church has seen God open the door and sat down? Know my heart when I say this, and I really hope no one takes me wrong when I say this. I believe in prayer, and I believe in prayer first. But I believe there's a lot of people sitting in church pews today that say, oh, I'm praying about it as a crutch to not have to do anything. That's not what's commanded in the Bible. We are told to continue instant in prayer. We are told to pray without ceasing. And I believe that with all of my heart. But we also were commanded to go. And there's something that we should be doing. The world will tell us, hey, there's COVID. You need to slow things down. The world will tell us it's 2021. And you can't evangelize like you used to evangelize. The world will tell us that it's an old story. This is an old book. It's outdated. We need a new way. But we ought to obey God rather than men. And God said that the grass may wither and the flower will fade away, but the Word of God will stand forever. Kingdoms will fall, nations will fall, kings will fall, but God's Word will stand. Moralities will fall, people will fall, whole generations may fall, but the Word of God will stand. And this Word has given us a very simple command, and that is, go. Secondly, go, stand. The church has got to take a stand. We have to take a stand. I still believe that Jesus saves sinners. Come on, y'all. Do you believe that Jesus saves sinners? Do you believe that God hears and answers prayers? Do you believe that God can do anything He wants to do? Do you believe that you're on a place, on your way to a place called heaven? Do you believe without Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven? It's time that we take a stand in what God said. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 with me. This verse that I'm about to read to you, or really several verses, is taken so far out of context and not quoted in its full meaning. Y'all heard me say, when you've done all you can do to stand therefore, and they stop. That doesn't bring into context what God's saying here. Because let me be clear, on your own, you're going to fall. On your own, you're not going to make it. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. They failed, didn't they? They didn't make it without God. But in Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 13. I go to verse 12. We need to remember this today. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Don't you ever find your spot hating somebody, no matter how wicked and vile they may be. If there's someone on planet Earth right now that has a wicked and vile mentality and you hate them, you're wrong. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are not battling this day me versus you. We are not battling this day against races, against religions, against families. We are simply in the middle of a war against principalities and powers of darkness that are in high places. And we are commanded of God to love everybody. And you should love everybody. Look what the Bible tells us to do, to stand. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Not part of the armor, not most of the armor, not as much as the armor as you like, but the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. How are we going to stand? Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know where we get truth? It ain't the news media, and it ain't your Facebook. It's the Word of God. With truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Do you know, if you've been born again, that Jesus Christ took upon Himself your sin, and you became His righteousness? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm so glad that the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Above all, taking the shield of faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, when you're looking at this, who in here shot a bow before? You ever shot a bow? You ever hunted with a bow before? Anybody ever hunted with a bow before? Did you light the end of your arrow before you shot it? No. Nobody here shot it with fire on the end of it. You know why? You're trying to kill something. The devil's not trying to kill you. He wants to start fire. He wants to see destruction. He wants to see you burn. He wants to see you be tortured. He just wants to light a little fire under you. The next time that he gets between you and a brethren, the next time he gets between you and someone, the next time he makes you think that your actual battle is against somebody else, we ought to obey God rather than men. Don't you let the devil sneak in and start a fire. Don't you let him start a fire inside this church, inside of your heart. If he can, he won't fight us from the outside. Oh no, he wants to shoot that dart in here and get the fire started on the inside. And take the helmet of salvation, I'm glad that I'm saved, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you know how we're going to stand in the day that it's hard to stand? The whole armor of God. We need God's presence. We need our faith in the Lord. We need the Word of God. We need it all. Whenever you don't know what to do, pick up the Word of God. Whenever you feel like you need to help somebody, take them into the Word of God. If someone's lost, give them the Word of God. If someone's hurting, give them the Word of God. If you need more wisdom, find yourself in the Word of God. If you want to be a better parent, go to the Word of God. If you want to be a better Christian, go to the Word of God. If you want to be a better person, go to the Word of God. It's all in here. There is nothing that you need that's not inside this Bible, and there's nothing inside this Bible that you do not need. You need the Word of God in your life. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Go back to our text with me if you would. If we're going to stand, we're going to have to take a stand with God. We're going to put on the whole armor of God. I see next, he tells us to go, stand, and speak. There's some of y'all in here, and I've got to know most of you pretty well, that you really struggle with speaking to other people. Now, there's some people in here that you don't have a problem at all with that. Not naming names. Dalton could carry on a conversation with a wall. Dante ain't got no problem talking. Not at all. Amen. His wife's amen in that. But some of y'all have a hard time talking to people one-on-one. There's some of y'all that ain't got no problem talking one-on-one, my wife. But when you get in front of people, it gets hard. Let me give you some comfort. Look what he tells us to speak about. Okay? I'm not telling you to get up and tell somebody a 10-step process to a better you, because it might fail. I'm not up to you to tell somebody about something you came up with and you invented that made you better. Okay? I'm simply coming to you, and here's what we speak of. Look what it says. And speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You say, what life is that? Go to Galatians with me if you would real quick. Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 2, I lied. Didn't mean it. Galatians chapter 2. He said, speak all the words of this life. What the Bible says. Can you find a place to say amen? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Now what happened? Again, this is not hard. I'm throwing you a bone here. What happened when they crucified Jesus? He died. When you crucify yourself with Christ, you know what happens to your old man? He dies. The Bible says, I die daily. Joel Logan preaches a message, and I wish it was still online because I would send it to each and every single one of you to hear it, on don't take it personally. He said, dead people don't get offended. If you've been crucified with Christ and if you die daily, you're not going to get offended because dead people don't get offended. Look what the Bible says. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, I don't live anymore. The desires I used to have aren't controlling me anymore. I don't give in to self. I follow the Lord. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, speak to them all the words of this life. For those of you who struggle speaking to people, let me help you. What you going to talk to them about? You're going to walk and say, I'm a nobody, but I met somebody. I can't help you because I don't know. I'm struggling talking to you, but I'm telling you right now, there's a God in heaven that loves you. I'm telling you right now, if you're in here tonight, whatever you brought in here, the baggage you brought on here, the struggle you brought with you, the prayer request you brought with you, I got good news. There's a God in heaven who can help you. I don't know how to help you. I don't know what you need. I don't even know what all is going on inside your heart, but God does. He knows it better than you do. And you know what He's waiting on? You have not because ye... You know what He's waiting on? Just ask Him. He knows you need it. He knows you need it. He said, I want you to go and stand and speak unto who? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 5. Who does He speak to? The people they liked? No. The people that they were like-minded with? No. They invited all the other churches to their revival meeting because they all agreed on things? No. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words. Now, the people who are in the temple, He means everybody who's in there, I want you to speak all the words of this life. We are proclaimed to Him, Ephesians 6:20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We must proclaim the truth. We must proclaim the Word of God to all the people. We obey God rather than men by telling the whole world about the gospel. This life, I got good news about it too again tonight. It's eternal life. I want you to believe and understand that once you're saved, you're saved. Okay, that's what my Bible says. You say, where does it say that? Let's look. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Does that sound familiar with Galatians 2:20? The life that I now live, I live through Jesus Christ. In His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Hear this verse. Listen to this. This is 1 John 5:12. This is what the Bible says. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know, I didn't give up my life so that I could follow Jesus. I got life when I followed Jesus. and everything that I hung on to, that the devil convinced me that I had to have, that the world convinced me. They convinced me I had to go to college. They convinced me I had to get the right degree. They convinced me I had the right job. And you understand that if I went to Harvard, got the greatest degree they had, and made billions of dollars a year and didn't have Jesus Christ, I'd still be on my way lost to hell. I would have nothing. Parents, if you teach your children to hit a baseball, if you teach them to make straight A's, if you get them into Harvard and they don't make their way into heaven, you failed. I mean that, and my heart breaks for that, because I know so many people that walk up and say, I've got to do travel ball, I've got to do study hall, I've got to do all these things because they're only kids once. You need to get the Word of God in their life, because we ought to obey God rather than men, because they are only kids once. And if my two boys never go to college, which I will tell them that I believe that they should, but if they never go to... And now, for those of you online who don't know, I have a master's degree in accounting and I am pro-education, but that does not mean anything compared to the time I've spent in the Word of God. And if I had that and I was lost, I'd be counting money on my way to hell. That's not a win. My goal is not to see my boys as president of the United States. My goal is to see my boys as servants for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because that's what God said. I'm not going to get to heaven and He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful bean counter. Well done, thou good and faithful pastor." No, I'm not going to hear that either. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How much time I got? 50 minutes. Y'all okay? Everybody good? I'm going to keep going then. All right. Verse 20, He told them some things that they needed to do from God's instruction. Verse 21, "And when they heard that, they entered into the temple." I want you to notice at the beginning of this verse, there was no hesitation. There was an unwavering faith that if God said it, it must be. There's some people in here tonight, hope you're listening, and you struggle with your faith. I've been there. Do you know what sin is unforgivable? Unbelief. Don't throw me out, that's in my Bible. Do you know what heaven's full of? People who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what hell's filling up with? People who didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. These men, these ladies, the church here understood that if God said it, it must be. Hey church, if God said it, then it is. And we ought to obey God rather than men. And what did they do? Exactly what God told them to do. And you know what we're going to do in 2021 here at Fellowship Baptist Church? Exactly what God's telling us to do. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and talked. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." How now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. We've already dealt with this. Has already happened to them one time before, and they're like, "Not again." Verse 25. "Then came one and told them, saying, 'Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching.'"